If you would, take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to talk about, I guess the title of the teaching is The Greatest is Living Love. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a chapter, well, this whole section, 12, 13, and 14, is really about spiritual matters. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts. And the word gifts is in italics, and in King James, any italicized word is added. So you don't, they're not needed. A lot of times they're in there nice for reading, but they're not scripture. And in this case, most Christians, they talk about the gifts of the Spirit. They're not gifts. It's one gift, Holy Spirit, and many evidences and energizings. So it says, now concerning spiritual or spiritual matters, the pneumatikos, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. It says, now you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities, there are different kinds of gifts, and this word gifts is not in italics, it's charismata, gifts of God's grace. Now, there are diversities, there are many kinds of gifts of God's grace, but it's the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations or ministries, services, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, energizings, but it's the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for profit. Or to profit with all, or for profit. For to one is given by the Spirit word of knowledge, to another word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecies, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So just in these first 11 verses, we're talking about spiritual matters, right? These are important things, you would think, in the church. They're really super important, wonderful things. The things which you get to understand that it's God that's working here. But he wants you to understand that, first of all, from wherever they were coming from, being Gentiles, they thought that when you spoke in tongues, you could call Jesus cursed. And he tells them, no, you can't. But the only way you can really say he's Lord is by the Holy Spirit, by having that Spirit and by doing it. That includes tongues, but doesn't exclude everything else. All right? But he wants them to understand that it's the same God, same Lord, and same Spirit for all these different energizings, all these different gifts of God's grace. And then the manifestations are there for everyone to profit. They're evidences of the Spirit. They are evidences. Manifestation is just simply an evidence of the Spirit. And this is not a complete list, but there's nine of them here. And these nine are, if you take that, each one of them, healing. I mean, this is powerful stuff. Discerning of spirits, knowing what's going on behind the scenes. God giving you the information that you need, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, to be able to manifest the Spirit in a church fellowship like we have here, tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy, you know, faith, so that you could remove mountains. That's what Jesus told. And very few people pay a lot of attention to it. So these things are all magnificent, powerful, huge parts of Christianity. But, you know, as he goes here, he starts to talk about, and everybody in the body, everybody in the body is important. Every single soul, there's no one that's not. Everyone is needed. Just like a body has parts, every part of your body is needed. The people in the church, in the body of Christ, are all needed. And he makes that point here in 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which lacks. The whole point is that there should be no schism, division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. This is part of the spiritual matters. You know, God's the one doing all the work here. He's the one working within people, same God, same Lord, same Spirit. And we have these evidences that are given to us for profit, and you decide whether you do it or not. And then he tells us about the body and how important every single member in the body is, in the body of Christ. But then he says in verse 31, I want you to covet, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Instead of coveting these powerful, wonderful, magnificent, tremendous things that God has given us. He's given us these things. He's working within us. He's given these gifts. You know, he's given prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers. He has given us the ability, the God-given ability to operate the manifestations. He is working in us in many divers, tremendously different ways to get his work done that he wants done and with people. And yet he makes a statement here in verse 31, yet I show you a more excellent way. And then we have the famous chapter here on love in 13, chapter 13. The more excellent way is to love. Now, how many people seek, let's put it this way, on the scale, let's do a poll. You know, they like to do these polls on TV, everybody's opinion. Well, you go out there in the church, the big picture of the church, all these different denominations, everything else. How important is healing compared to love? How important is speaking in tongues compared to love? How important is the ministry of a prophet? You follow me? All of these things are in this package of spiritual matters. But God is giving us the priority All these wonderful things are there. They're yours. They're important. Every single person in the body is absolutely important. And you're supposed to take care of each other. But I'm going to show you a more excellent way than coveting all these things that I've given you. Instead of focusing in on all those things, the more excellent way is to love. Because listen, and he's going to go through some manifestations. He's going to go through some gifts. He's going to go through a bunch of different things. And if you don't have love when he goes through this, you are null and void at best. You're worthless. At the worst, you're a terrible example of Christ. You know, think about it that way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, this love of God, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Now, the manifestation of speaking in tongues is between you and God. It's prayer between you and God and your private prayer life. When you speak in tongues, you give praise, the words God gives you to speak to him, just like he gives us the Psalms to speak to him and to pray to him, just like he gives us the prayers in Ephesians to pray to him. He gave us the words, pray this prayer. I'll answer it. Well, he gives us in the manifestation of speaking in tongues, he gives us the words that he wants us to offer to him in love. Words that will edify and eulogize and praise and give thanks and prayer. These are the things that we are giving to him, the scripture tells us. But you're doing it because you love him. Without that, why not just recite a prayer off the top of your head that somebody taught you that you don't even think about? You know? It's just a noise. It's just annoying. Without love, it's annoying to God. So how important is love? Though I have the gifts of prophecy. You got the ability to prophesy. Remember, gifts is in italics. Though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. You as an individual are literally counting for nothing. Because there's no love for God here. Now, will somebody else maybe get the benefit of that prophecy that's spoken? No question about it. If you do it, because you have the God-given ability to operate these manifestations and to do these things, I can tell you that people in the room will be enriched. But for you, nothing. No love. So understand all mysteries, knowledge. You got faith so that you could remove mountains. Jesus talked about this in the gospel, right? I mean, how many people would like that kind of commanding faith? And yet without love, you're absolutely worthless. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, you can give your body your goods, give everything away, give your body to be burned out in service. But if you don't do it because you love God, so why else would you do it? You know, think about this. Why else would somebody do these things? The Corinthian church was, I want to really look good. I mean, this is the context of the Corinthian church. I want to be the super spiritual one here. I want everybody to notice me. You know, same kind of motivational garbage that gets people carnally involved in everything else in life. I want to look good. I got my fancy car. I got my, be better than the Joneses, all the rest. Why? Yeah. So I want them to think about me. Yeah. They ain't paying the bill, you are. But hope it was worth it. So this love, verse 4, this love suffers long. It's kind. It puts up with a lot. It is kind. This love envieth not. Envy, I wish I had what they have. I wish, covetousness. How come they like you better than they like me? Love doesn't do that. It vaunts not itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own. It's not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but it does rejoice in the truth. It bears all things. Now, according to God's word, it believes all things. You could put in according to God's word. And it hopes all things according to God's word. Because you could, if you took out that understanding, guess what? God tells you not to believe everything that comes your way. Charity never fails, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. They're going to go away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I grew up, I put away childish things. Everything, the power of God that we have within us today, God considers childish things. When our Lord comes back, that's going to be the real deal. You're going to get a new body, new mind. No more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. You're going to know even as you are known. He knows every hair on my head. I'm going to know him like he knows me. Oh, man. For verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then when our Lord returns, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. So now, right now, abides faith, hope, and charity, these three. But what the greatest? The greatest of these is charity, this love of God. What is it that we should focus in on more than anything else in our Christian life? You want to walk with God? And Richie had a great teaching at the, and Dwayne had a wonderful teaching that they really fit into what I'm talking about. Richie talked about the relationship. All right. You really want to develop the relationship, and you do it with putting on God's word and walking by the Spirit. Dwayne talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and one of the fruit, you got this fruit, right? He's already given you the check. Remember the teaching? He's given you the check. It's all yours. It's been done for you. All you have to do is cash it. You walk out on it. And the fruit of the Spirit, the first thing it's talked about is love. It's evident. in your life because you got the Spirit. You don't have to search for this. All you have to do is start to do it. Evidence it. It's like falling off a grease log backwards. I remember somebody once said, I never had a greased log and I never fell over one, but it was a great saying. I'll never forget it. You can't be a greased log backwards. And then it says in 14:1, follow after this love and desire spiritual matters. But rather, more important to the matter at hand that I want to talk to you now about is I want you to prophesy. Now he's talking about them in the church. You know, there's a way in which all the manifestations are supposed to be dealt with, and there is a right and a wrong way to do it. And he's going to teach them in 14 about these things. You speak in tongues to you and God, not to everybody out loud. You don't do this out loud in the church. You don't all rant and rave and look at me and how spiritual I am. Because that's what the Corinthians were doing. They weren't listening to each other. They didn't care about each other. They only cared about how they looked, how spiritual they were, and how can I get to the top here? Nothing wrong with being the best at anything. But you can do it arrogantly or you can do it lovingly. God wants men and women who walk precisely by his word, who command the Spirit of God in their own life and in their own heart with the same power that Jesus walked with. There's no ego in that, as long as you walk in the love that he had. You know, to get good at walking by the Spirit is an excellent, it's a very honorable discipline. One that we all should desire to do. But if you do it for any other motive than because you love God, don't waste your time. So he teaches them these things. He speaks to them of these things. He's correcting them in what they have been doing wrong. And he makes these points here in 14:32. It says, and the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. And this is talking about the prophesier, the person prophesying. The spirit that's within you is subject to you. The spirit doesn't control me and make me do anything. I operate the spirit of God within me. I choose to do it or not to do it. The spirit is subject to the individual. And then it says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Where there's confusion, this is not from God. And then it says in verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forget. And forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decent and in order. Everything in the church is to be done decently and in order. You know, we pray together as a family, right? You know, when you pray, there's a decorum, right? You're not screaming and yelling. You're not rolling around the floor. Sit there and pray. Stand there and pray. I mean, everything is to be done decently and in order, right? So, when you deal with life, you know, we have rules, like in regular life, we have rules of etiquette. You know, you take the dinner, you take a portion, you put it on your plate, you pass it to the next person. You don't take the whole thing. You're not a gavon. All right, you just, there's rules for etiquette. If there's 10 people at the table, I take a little bit less to make sure it makes it all the way around. But it's just the things that mom taught you. You know, the thing, I mean, it's Mother's Day, these are the things that you learn because someone spent the time teaching it to you. God does these things to teach us so that his church is not a bunch of wackos. You know, when somebody comes into the fellowship, we take care of them more than anybody else. They're the most important person because guess what? The loneliest. They're the ones that feel the oddest. You walk into a room where you've got a bunch of people who know each other and you walk in, you're the odd man out, right? Well, you think it's any different in the church? Well, then when someone new comes to hear the word at a fellowship, first of all, it took a lot of courage for them to show up to a brand new group of people. Why not extend yourself twice, three times the amount to make that person more comfortable and sacrifice your own gabbing time with your friends? You know, I said it, you know, gabbing time, you know, your own fellowship time with your friends. That's when every individual and the one that's least gets the most. These are things that you just think about. When you got 50 people in a room to pray, you pray for 30 seconds, not 30 minutes. So somebody else has got a chance. I mean, you pray with each other. You don't have to repeat the same thing over and over. These are just things that you learn. It's sort of like the etiquette of the church, decently in an order kind of stuff. You only have two or three manifestations of the Spirit at any meeting because it says so. You see what I mean? These things are all love. These things, the reason I limit myself is because of obedience to God, love for God, and the desire to do it right according to his word. Not because it's a rule. Pharisees had that kind of stuff, and they didn't do it real well. Look in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24 and verse 12. Jesus Christ is talking, and he said, and because iniquity abounds, the love of God of many shall wax cold. It's the same word, agapeo. You know, because iniquity abounds, and it's abounding tremendously in the world that we live in case you hadn't noticed. You got more violence, more hatred than I've seen, and for a long time, since I'm a kid. And I think it's more vicious now. We had rules when I was a kid. You left the old people and the little ones alone. You know, no rules. When iniquity abounds, when ungodliness abounds, it says the love of many, the love of God of many will wax cold. That's the Lord talking. You choose Luke 11. See, everybody's got priorities. Well, God's got his, and those are the ones that I want to follow. And if my priorities are the priorities of my community or the priorities of my area, government, or whatever are not those priorities, then guess what? I'm going to do God's. Plain and simple. Luke 11:42. It says, but woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the agape, or the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to left the other undone. You know, it's not bad that they tithe and they did what they did, but they decided that tithing, you know, giving all that they had, remember what Corinthians 13 said? Giving their bodies to be burned out, looking real good. I'm looking real good. These people are coming in late. I'm looking good. But you guys stop. You did that, but you stopped judgment and the love of God. Without that, you're nothing. You know, these things you should have done, those are the priorities. And you not to leave, don't leave the other undone, but this is the priority. Do you follow? In John 13, Gospel of John, chapter 13. So you got the spiritual matters of the church. You have how to act within the church. You've got everything. And without love, you miss it all. You miss the whole point of the thing. So in John, I said to go to 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. He gives them that new commandment to love one another. And then he says, this is how they're going to know that you are my disciples. Not how good you talk, not how good you pray, not how big a manifestation you can come across with. The way in which you'll know them by their fruit. And the first fruit is love. That's how Jesus said you will know them, by their fruit. This is how they'll know that you are my disciplined follower, that you're a follower of Christ, is your love. Your love. How important. John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Continue in the love of God that I have loved you with. And then if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's how. Why do I keep the commandments? Because I love God. Because he asked me to. You know, the Father loves you. If you keep my commandments, verse 10 again, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And let's go to Romans 5. Romans 5 and in verse 5, it says, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God, this love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which he has given unto us." You and I have the ability to love this way because of the Spirit that he gave us. That's why it's the fruit of a spirit. But you don't have, you know, the natural man doesn't have this. He doesn't know how. You know, natural men, let's give them their due, okay? We were all once upon a time those people. A natural man, Jesus said, you know, if you bless those that bless you, that's normal. But what reward do you get? It says, if you take care of those that take care of you, that's not real difficult. In other words, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. That's how the world works. You're nice to me, I'm nice to you. You're respectful to me, I'm respectful to you. I mean, you pay me, I work for you. You know, there's a give and a take in the whole thing. God's love is that you were supposed to bring those people who couldn't do anything to you for dinner. You know, the natural man, they bring people to dinner because they want to, what they call that, network, to see if they can get a better job or a more important position. You're supposed to take the bums and the people who can't help you at all. That's who. Now we're talking love. Now we're talking the love God has. See, God makes it to rain on the just and the unjust all on the same day. He lets everybody drink water, not just the people that he likes or the people that like him. He's given us all bodies. If we cut ourselves, they'll heal on their own. That's a gift from God. And see, healing's always a gift. But even every natural man's body's got the ability, unless it's broke, to heal itself. So all I'm saying is that natural people can love, but they have a different standard. They have a different standard. And their love is only for specific people. Who, you're mine, you give back to me, you take care of your business. You know, those kind, you all understand this. I'm sure that you all understand this. Look at Romans 12. The love of God, which God has given to you by the Spirit, this kind of love. In Romans 12 and in verse 9, it says, let this love, the love of God, be without hypocrisy. It says dissimulation in King James. It's really without hypocrisy. If you're walking in love, when you walk in love, which God has given you by the Spirit so that you got the ability to do, you love them all. You love the people that think that they're better than you. You love the people that you think you're better than. You love the unlovable. And you love the lovable. All the same. You just love. And you do it without any hypocrisy. So important. Abhor that which is evil. Hate that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another. With brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I prefer you above myself. That's a great standard. Oh, let me open the door for you. Let me help you with that. Let me be of service. That's love. And whether it's appreciated by the son of a gun that you just served or not, you're doing it because you love God, not because of reciprocation. That's how they know that we are his disciples. Romans 13, verse 10. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Again, same word. This love of God, it doesn't work any ill to anybody else. And therefore, it's the fulfilling of the law. You'll never break one of the Old Testament laws that were given to Israel if you walk in love. See, sin is selfishness and its least common denominator. Every sin is selfish, self-serving, and selfish. Love is just the opposite. It's serving and giving. Galatians 5. Just got a few more. Want to stick with me? Galatians 5. And in verse 6, it says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, which works by love. How does your faith really work? It works by love. And this is a doctrinal point, circumcision or uncircumcision, and none of those criteria mean anything. The most important thing is faith, but faith without love is nothing. Faith, this kind of faith we're talking about, works by love. Go to 5:13. For brethren, if you have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You serve one another by this love. You don't use the liberty that you have in Christ to be selfish. Now, I got the liberty, right? I don't have to do what I'm doing right here. I don't have to do this. God's not going to whack me. It's not part of the contract. I do it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday for all these many, many years because of love, not because I didn't have something better to do on a Sunday. You follow me? Do I have the liberty not to? Yeah, there's no punishment. There's no penalty box here. But by love, you serve. You do it for love of God and the brethren. You show up to hear the word of God so that you can love, seek to love God more, put on his word more, and minister to each other when you show up. I mean, that's what the church, you know, like back to chapter 12, that you have the same care for every member of the body. It's love. In 5:22, the last verse we're going to read today. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. See, it's not you're going to, it is. When you got this fruit in your life, when you got the Spirit of God, you have everything that Christ has given you. the fruit, the manifestation of that spirit, the evidence of that spirit manifests itself with the individual in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, they crucify the flesh with the afflictions and the lusts. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. You know, again, the fruit of unrighteousness is just above that. Envy and drunkenness, everything else. You know them by their fruit. None of us are perfect. None of us, not a single soul. You know, this is Mother's Day. Proverbs 31. The virtuous woman, starting in verse 10. Okay. Bathsheba was telling Solomon, her son, this is the kind of woman you want, son. This is a hard one to find. The virtuous woman, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Yeah, that's why. I know why, because there's no such thing as a perfect one. But they get close. We got women of God. I got a wonderful wife, a great woman of God. She's really close, hitting every mark. Check off every box. Great mom, great wife. All these years. I mean, the fruit. I know her by her fruit. That's why it's important to know each other. If you just got the guy on the TV for an hour a week and you don't know what the heck his life looks like, you got no personal communication with him, then you really don't know. I can do anything for an hour. I can fake anything for an hour. You can fake being a good husband for an hour. How many people, when they were courting each other, they always put their best foot forward, right? And then all of a sudden they get married and oh boy, what an awakening. He's got dirty laundry. He's got bad habits. He's got, you know. Of course we put forward our best in the public or when you're trying to court someone, you know. But it's every day. By their fruit, you know them. Is it love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith? Yeah, you walk with people, they got faith, but they just talk about it. You know, again, you don't have to talk so much if you got meekness. I mean, we got people in our church that are just beautiful. They got so much fruit in their heart and life. So much fruit. I mean, it's evident. Is there a perfect one out there? No, no. They all fall on their face sooner or later. They all have a bad day. Everybody's got a bad day. Some of us have bad weeks. Hopefully not bad months, you know. But the truth of the matter is they bounce back and they do the things of God. The love is the most important thing. Love. Love of God. Doing it for God. Our motive is to live for God in love. Walk with one another in love. Be the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the most, I don't care what avenue you pursue in Scripture. love is the motive and the most important aspect. So that's what I wanted to share with you today.